Blog Talk Radio.
Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Thank you for listening to the show. We'll catch you again next week. And oh, wait a
minute. Gee, that was quick. I knew they went fast, but this is ridiculous. God. Good morning.
Good morning.
Got a nice sunshiny day up there?
Oh, it is. We're getting into, they're predicting three digits. And I just want a negative sign in front of it. So got a nice, really healthy tan, but that's the Indian in me, too. You mentioned the sun, I turn red.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Go indoors.
It doesn't matter. Son, okay.
Really?
We got a lot to talk about today, folks. Kind of a little busy schedule as we'll try to cram in. And maybe
there's so much going on in the news.
Yeah, we'll even try to stay on topic a little bit today, too. But it's all about being informative and having fun while we're doing it. That's why we keep coming back.
And there is so much going on that is so ridiculous. I mean, our federal government is in such trouble.
Yeah.
And locally, locally, my God.
Oh, don't get me started.
Have you, okay, I understand Kitzhaber is running again for governor. Have you watched?
Governor times two.
Yeah, but, I mean, have you watched anything about what he's talking about or what he has as a, any ideas, or is there anything available about that? I haven't.
Well, let me just put it this way, and for because we do broadcast outside of Oregon, Dr. John Kitzhaber used to be governor of Oregon. I forget how many years back, and he's running for about four or five governors that were after him, and now he's wanting to come back, and he's running for governor again. Now, what's really kind of funny about it is he's talking like most politicians, in the past, we've done it this way, and it failed. Excuse me, but weren't you one of the people in the past that ran it this way and it failed?
Well, that's what I was going to ask. I haven't looked up any information about him or any history about him. I've got to do that, but I thought, because you've lived here much longer than I have, and I don't know, did people like him?
The only thing that I remember that really came out of his term is that in the Eugene area, way back, I used to own a business. We repaired VCRs and rented movies. But in order to have a VCR repair shop, you had to have a license. And the license was to repair VCRs was an endorsement to a television license, and to get that license, you had to have 2 years of experience, 1 year of schooling, or 2 years of schooling, 1 year of experience, you know, that catch-22 thing.
Oh, yes.
And it wasn't really significant, per se, to actual fixing of things, but it was just another excuse of the state having control. You know, they would come down. In fact, for example, he was a professor at the University of Beaverton. Well, University in Beaverton, I'm not sure the name. But, and we could count on him every time that there was a long break in the school holiday. He'd show up on our door, inspect the equipment, and come along with his shopping list of usually about $5,000 worth of stuff that I would never use.
Yeah.
And, you know, left his father's around. Well, Kitzhaber decided we really don't need that. That was put together for consumer protection. We really don't need that because the marketplace will take care of itself. You know, if you're ripping people off, you're not going to last.
Really? And nobody seems to understand that. None of the government agencies seem to understand that the government, you know,
but
free market is exactly what made us so big and so powerful, and they seem to want to control the free market.
Exactly, and it's getting worse and worse and worse.
Oh, yes.
Right. And it's...
Well, but what the heck?
Well, it's like one thing I'll just interject here real quick. In Oregon, what was it, about a couple months ago, Cliff, we voted a measure 66-67.
Oh, yeah, 2 or 3 months ago.
Yeah.
You're getting old.
It was promoted as the financial fix-all for the schools, you know, always money for the schools and everything. There is, I can't remember the guy's name. He came on one of the local talk shows here this week, and he was slapping Kulongoski, who's our current take-my-money governor, and they were counting on, first of all, this is what they normally do when they want to raise taxes. They figure that, okay, we're going to put a tax on this, and it's going to generate X amount of revenue, assuming, of course, that the demand for what we're buying stays the same. Well, we went ahead and we voted in 66-67, like I say, under the guise of, especially people that haven't lived here long enough to realize when they threaten the police department and fire that, you know, are saying it's for the kids, it's the standard ploy, don't fall for it. Well, people fell for it. But my point is they're screaming, we're still not getting that much money coming in. Well, the reason why they're not getting that much money coming in is because a lot of people in Oregon here, businesses, individuals, have left. And when people leave, you don't have that revenue stream.
Either way,
it's like, okay, I've never taken economics in school, but I know that.
Well, I don't see the problem is our leaders sit down and they don't pick someone that they trust to give them advice. They take advice from absolutely everyone, and unfortunately, whoever was the last one to give them the advice is who they listen to. And unfortunately about that is the last one to give advice doesn't necessarily know what the hell they're talking about. They could be just out there flapping their gums because it's something that they believe in. But that doesn't mean it's good for the populace.
Yes.
And we have that in local and federal government as well as state government. So we've got a problem with that. We need to come up with, and the other problem is, you know, like the federal government has been doing, they go and get experts, they find the very best experts or whatever it is they're looking for, ask them to come up with a solution, and then ignore it. And that's our biggest problem.
Wow.
We spend all the money coming up with a solution, and then we just ignore them because it doesn't look like what we think it should be.
Well, some of these experts, you know, I'm trying to put this nicely. You can have somebody with a master's degree who's never worked in the real world per se or owned a business per se. You know, it looks good on the books, but in real life, it's a whole different thing.
But if you actually come up with a group of experts, and I'm thinking in terms, in this case, of the oil spill, They went to schools and talked to people in schools. They went to the oil companies, talked to people who were actually out there, and they came up with a whole big group of people and then totally ignored them.
Exactly.
And we paid them is the problem. Paid for all these things.
Maybe I should do a parody on Father's Knows Best and call it government.
Look at the Katrina catastrophe. They many years, 7 or 8 years before that. There was several studies done and recommendations made that everybody totally said, oh, wow, that's great, that's what we should do, and then they tabled it and started. And then later on, we had this horrible disaster that didn't need to actually be that bad.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to get into something we normally don't want to do. I got an announcement I want to make.
Oh, dear.
I want to kind of promo the next week's show, which normally we do at the end of the show when we do promos, but I feel this topic is pretty important. But it's something that a lot of people are just not aware of. You know, we've all heard about, you know, the cap and trade and the war on greenhouse gases. Well, there are some laws that are on the books that are becoming more and more popular throughout the nation. We normally don't hear much about the consequences and the effects that some of these laws are having on people who are basically forced to work and sleep in the industry regarding these laws in extreme. What they do, they're affecting the extreme weather conditions, sending people to the hospital and unfortunately dying as a result of something that could be totally avoidable. Some, out of desperation, in order to protect their own health, try to circumvent the law, risking fines up to $10,000 and 1 year of imprisonment.
You need to tell us what we're talking about because we're losing you.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say that this is something that we really need to make the public aware of. And what I'm talking about is something that's called an anti-idle law that affects commercial vehicles. And next week we're going to get into a little bit more in depth on that. But I have experienced, let me just sum up real quick here. There's a lot of rules on the books, and I'll go ahead and put some links to one of them on the show later on today, that if you're idling your truck, say it's 137 degrees outside, which like a friend of mine was experiencing recently, 137 degrees outside, it can get 150 degrees easily inside that cab, and you're not allowed to idle it because you're air conditioner, and you're trying to sleep in that condition.
Okay, first you need to tell us now why. Is it the trucking company doesn't want us to waste the gas, or what is it?
It's a little bit of both. It's mainly from the EPA that are setting up these rules and regulations. And then, of course, companies are doing it to save fuel. Some companies, like the one I used to work for, wouldn't even there's auxiliary power units you can put on the trucks to kind of it provides heating and air conditioning. But they're, you know, $6,000-$7,000 a piece. But we'll get in. I don't want to get too much into it on this show.
Yeah, I was just going to say we need to stop because you're going to get into this thing and we're not going to be able to get out of it. And we're just going to confuse people.
Exactly. Well, it's something that I feel is very important. I've experienced it. People have died because of this. And so I just wanted to promo next week's show and get as many people to get out there as much as possible.
So even if you're not a trucker, come tune in next week. I've been looking up this stuff. Because I'm not a trucker I've been looking it up, and it is important, and it is important not just to truckers. It is important to you and me because if truckers can't sleep and if truckers can't be comfortable, then truckers have accidents and they hit you and me.
Exactly.
And that's why it's important.
Exactly. And like I say, people have died, but. Well, that's next week's show. I just wanted to kind of get the word out there. But moving right along.
Next week, by the way, 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning Pacific time. 10 o'clock Pacific time, Saturday morning. So it's important. You better be here. And we're going to be taking attendance.
That's right. Which, when somebody shows up, we'll take attendance. Actually, we have a couple in the chat.
We'll call roll.
And let me get on to our next segment here because, like I said, time goes fast on these shows, and so I just want to keep things moving a little bit, and then we'll get into our main topics. I have a What the Heck Are They Thinking segment here.
What the heck are they thinking?
You've got to be kidding me. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
Okay, and this week, there's been a little scuttlebutt going on the talk shows about remarks by, of course, our favorite President Obama. And he was giving a speech at the Four Seasons Hotel in Austin, Texas. And here's a little segment of that speech.
Right now, all around this country, there are groups with harmless-sounding names like Americans for Prosperity who are running millions of dollars of ads against Democratic candidates all across the country. And they don't have to say who exactly the Americans for Prosperity are. You don't know if it's a foreign-controlled corporation. You don't know if it's a big oil company or a big bank. You don't know if it's an insurance company that wants to see some of the provisions in health reform repealed because it's good for their bottom line, even if it's not good for the American people. The Supreme Court decision allowed this to happen, and we tried to fix it just by saying disclose what's going on and making sure that foreign companies can't influence our elections. Seemed pretty straightforward. The other side said no. They don't want you to know who the Americans for Prosperity are.
They say I should be the one to do it. But they are weak. They fear me. And well, they should. I am no longer like them. I am above them. I have the ultimate power. The power of life and death. Not daring to speak. They will die. If they will use this war, they will die. Then something stronger will emerge. A new race, one supreme power in the universe. I will not press this switch. I will not cower. I will not die. I will not die. This is not the end. This is only the beginning.
Okay.
Okay, you lost me.
Obviously, he didn't say the second half of that part, but I just kind of throw that part in. But no, basically, what he was talking about is that the got my notes here. That
who is he?
President Obama was complaining that some of these organizations under seemingly, as he puts it, harmless names or straightforward names, like Americans for Prosperity, that are raising money to put down the Democratic Party. And he's saying that, you know, it's not good for America. And in fact, let me quote him here. Right now, all around this country, there are groups with harmless-sounding names like Americans for Prosperity who are running millions of dollars of ads against the Democratic candidates all across the country, and they don't have to say who exactly the Americans for Prosperity are.
I thought there was a law that says political ads have to be identified.
I think there is, but
I mean, I know the political people that run them themselves have to identify themselves. I'm Joe Blow, and I approve this ad.
I don't know if that's actually a law or if they were just somebody.
No, that is definitely a law. I've been in the broadcast business, and we have to have that on there.
Huh.
That is absolutely a law. It's a weird law as far as I'm concerned, but it has to be there.
Like,
but that's a different purpose, because that's if somebody's running an ad and it's made to sound like it is by a person, about a person, and it's not. And you can defame someone rather quickly that way. But there are many, many things that can defame other people. But, you know, if you're out there donating money to one of these groups, you're an idiot if you don't know who the hell they are.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, consumer protectionism on that regard. But
no, there's no consumer protectionism about it. See, I happen to be one of these people that think that if you're a part of the American public, you need to think. I mean, to just go off willy-nilly and throw your money away, if you have that much money, then more power to you. But, I mean, you know, if you have any smarts at all, you need to sit down and find out who the hell you're giving your money to and who the heck you're talking to, because this business of just, you know, I'm hoping most of us have learned you can't believe everything you read in the newspaper. You can't believe everything you see on TV. Well, you sure as hell can't believe everything you see on the Internet. And doesn't everybody understand that yet?
Well, you mean like our show?
You can believe us. You can believe us. Well, but the thing is, we're not afraid to identify ourselves and who we are and where we're from, and we're also not afraid to let whomever we're talking about, whether it's the president or anybody else, call and talk to us and dispute what we're saying. Tell us we're all washed up. Tell us we're idiots, and we'll tell you you're an idiot. I mean, that's the name of the game, a little bit of confrontation, but you can believe us because we're absolute honest and truth.
That's right, Pete.
Okay.
Just in truth, if we're 39 minutes remaining into the show, like I say, it's going fast. If anybody would like to join us on the air for their opinion, how would they do that, Cliff?
They would call us at 646-721-9887. That does work, by the way, because I've called it and I've talked on the radio. 646-721-9887. What else can they do?
Well, they can also email us at talk@krbnradio.com. We do answer our emails, and if you have an opinion that you'd like us to read over the air, we'd be glad to do that. Or you can join the conversation in our chat room, which is you just click on the chat now page or something similar to that on our main page.
Conversation in our chat room got anything to do with what we're talking about today?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean, sometimes you get into the chat room and they're talking about one thing and we're talking about another.
Well,
That's
okay. We're glad to have you. Welcome to the show. And again, I apologize for the hesitation. I got about 15 things going at once here.
This gets into a little bit of a thing that I want to talk about to a certain extent. There are groups that are online and trying to stir up unrest and disturbance. And I think we should be one of them. We need to come up with a website where we can get together. And I don't mean just Robin and I. I mean Robin and I it's Robin and me and you and anybody else that wants to get onto it. We'll have to come up with some place where you can, on a regular basis, anytime you want to, go in and comment on what's going on. And to come up with more than just comments, I want to come up with some solutions, whether they be good ones or bad ones. If you have a solution, that's what I want to come up with. So we got to do that, Robin. We got to work on getting a website or something where we can direct everybody, and maybe we'll put up a blog or something
now,
where we can talk about things.
Work on a blog page or something like that, so we can get some interaction going, and also because this show is about a whole bunch of things, but mainly it's about people's opinions and what they want to hear, but. Anyways, I want to move right along because we've got 37 minutes remaining in the show. We got two more topics I want to cover quickly because, again, this show is unfortunately only an hour long. This one is the toll bridges are not that common in Oregon. In fact, I don't know of any toll bridges actually in Oregon, but they're more common back east. But along the Columbia River crossing, a proposed $4.2 billion replacement of a bridge and renovation of 6 highway interchanges in North Portland and Southwest Washington. The project.
How much money?
$4.2 billion.
Oh, billion. Okay.
Billion.
Okay. Go ahead.
The project is intended to relieve congestion and improve safety and encourage transit use. I was just reading what they were saying in the chat room. Sorry. Although commitments are not final, project planners say that a third of the $4.2 billion project would come from tolls, a third from federal transit and highway funds, and, of course, a third from state and congressional money. Planner says that the idea of toll roads in Oregon are not up for debate, and it will happen. They're just not sure when. The Oregon legislature will require the project to be as part of a House bill. Transportation officials got the ball rolling Tuesday, but they admit it is early and there's no plan. Rush hour commuters between Portland and Vancouver, Washington, could pay a charge as much as $5.12 a day for the use of the new Interstate 55 bridge project.
Now, see, this is where it gets totally insane, because you've got people who live in in Vancouver across the river from Portland who work in Portland and vice versa, who have been doing this for 50 years, and now all of a sudden their paycheck is going to be diminished by huge amounts because of this toll bridge. All you're going to do is, again, you were talking about this tax, the 6667, making people move out of the state. That's going to move them out in droves and move them into Washington.
Or even further out, like Idaho, which a lot of businesses are moving out. But when you look at it, okay, I live in Eugene. I work in Cottage Grove. I spend $200 a month commuting to work. You add another, if I had to go through a toll like what they're talking about here, you know, another $5.12 a day, that's a little over $25 a week or $100 more a month. Now I'm spending $300 just to get to work.
Right.
I'm only making $10 an hour.
And that's what I'm saying. People are not going to be able to do that, especially since it has been so many years that they've been able to get back and forth across those for free. I don't understand. I mean, is that bridge falling down? Is that bridge? I've been across that bridge, and sure, traffic is rough, and at times it gets very busy, and you have to sit and wait. But the point is, you get across it, okay. We don't have alternatives. I mean, the alternative is way out of your way. You can go clear down to Astoria, I think it is. There is a bridge down there, and I don't think that's a toll bridge. Or you can go way up on the 205 bridge, but that will become a toll bridge, too, before very long. We're already talking about that. So there's no alternatives. The alternative is to move. And if you're going from Portland and working in Vancouver, which more and more people are doing, it used to be the other way around, then they're going to move.
Absolutely. It's more of an economic issue. I mean, things are spendy enough in Oregon as it is without adding more expense right on top of it. And, of course, the whole point of it is they're trying to get people out of their cars. Well, that doesn't work for everybody. I mean,
well, no, you can't. Okay, get them out of your cars and get them in mass transit. Unfortunately, I don't think the mass transit up there is good enough to do that.
Well, also look at, well, first of all, it has to work reasonably to where you're going, for one. Secondly, this is Oregon. It rains a lot, you know, like riding bike. Sure, I'd love to ride a bike. Don't like getting wet. And then there's a time issue. You know, it takes me 30 minutes to every day one way to get to work. Well, if I had to walk about five blocks down to the bus depot, wait for the bus, go down and to the main station, transfer, hop on the other bus, it would take me about an hour and a half to get to work. And then, of course, once I got into Cottage Grove, then hopefully I think the bus stop is about eight blocks from where my job is. So I make it 2 hours one way to get to work. Now, I work sometimes 12 to 14 hours a day. So now my commute time, I add 4 hours onto my commute time, and I might as well just go stay at work.
Okay, what did I just say? You may as well move.
If you can afford to move.
Well, it's not a matter of afford to move. You can't afford not to move. You simply can't afford not to move. So you're going to have to pick up stakes and move to Cottage Grove if you want to stay in that job. Or if not, you're not going to stay in that job. And we think the unemployment is high in Oregon right now. Wait till that happens.
Well,
because we're talking about a lot of people go across that Columbia River.
Well, if I'm going to move for a $10 an hour job, I'm going to pack up and go to a state that's actually prospering a little bit.
Good luck. Are there one?
Well,
is there one?
North Dakota's doing pretty good if you can survive sub-zero winters.
Or if you can dig oil wells.
Or you can dig oil wells.
Well, what else is there in North Dakota?
Well, oil and coal oil, coal, and uranium are the three major industries in North Dakota. But
all of which somehow or another involve digging, and how good are you with a shovel?
Well, a lot of the stuff. Some of the oil well sites, you know, only have five people on them because of the automation. But the point is that because Okay, for one, Oregon is especially, they've been wanting to get people out of their cars, especially the Portland area, which I think is the number one bike-friendly state in the nation.
You know, that's a bunch of bunk. I wouldn't mind riding a bike to go where I'm going to go and do what I'm going to do. If you're riding a bike and you decide to go downtown and go into the drugstore, what do you do with your bike? They're not going to let you take it into the drugstore. It's going to get stolen. Or if it's not going to get stolen, you're going to lock it up in one of these bike things and the wheels are going to be taken off. This is not an answer. This is not a logical solution, riding bicycles. Riding motorcycles is not a logical solution either, but for the same reason. Granted, some people's cars get stolen, but not nearly as easy as parts and things off of a bicycle. That is not an answer. The bicycle thing is nothing more than exercise, and that's all it is.
Yeah. Well, then what if, I'm going to get a little personal here. You're not, don't take this wrong, you're not in the health where you can ride a bike.
Oh, I can't ride a bike at the moment. No, my heart. I'm going to have heart surgery shortly. And there's, you're right, I can't ride a bike. But then, I mean, even if I could, it's not an option. I actually, a year or two ago, I was going to do that. I was going to go out and buy myself a bicycle. And then I thought about this whole thing. You know, if I want to go downtown and just go sit in the park and laze around all day and watch people and then come home, that's fine because I can sit there and have the bicycle beside me, and as long as I think it's okay. But what if I want to go down to the video store and pick up a video and then bring it back? That's nothing at all problem with that, doing it out with a bicycle. But I actually saw a bicycle in front of the video store with the wheel missing. And, you know, that set me off. Who knows, maybe the owner took the wheel. I don't know, but whatever, it doesn't have to be the owner, and I'm not going to be the one losing it.
Well, that's true. I'm not saying that you know, people shouldn't ride bikes or anything, but I don't know. It should be a mixture of both in a way.
Well, bikes are not the answer. Public transportation is the answer, but in order to do that, you've got to upgrade your public transportation system radically. I mean, I'm from the Bay Area. I lived in the Bay Area, and when I lived in the Bay Area, I rode buses all the time because it was the logical move. Where I lived, which was over on the East Bay in San Leandro, where I lived during most of the day, there was a bus by within half a block of my house every 15 minutes all day long. I could get up, walk out in front of the house, didn't have to walk very far, no block, just a half a block. I had to and pick up a bus, and knew one was going to be there no matter what time I got up and got out. A new one was going to be there within 15 minutes maximum. And then it was that free ride all the way. Well, free ride. It was free of driving all the way to work, which I worked in San Francisco, clear across the bay. It did help. Because I could get on the bus, pay a specific amount of money, and go all the way to work, which meant that crossing the Bay Bridge, which was a toll bridge, or is a toll bridge, and I actually saved money by doing that than by paying gas and paying the toll. But even more to the point, I saved my frazzled nerves from trying to drive that way. This way I could get on the bus, I could read the newspaper, I could read a book, or I could do whatever I wanted to do, and pretty soon I'm at work. And it was actually for less money than driving if I did it myself. So yes, if you have a good mass transit system, that's fine. Portland may be getting a little closer, but they're still a long ways from it. I mean, and Eugene and every place else in the state of Oregon is a total loss.
Right. Well, I agree with you there. Eugene's trying to do something called the EMX, which is a very expensive bus system. And I can't believe I'm actually going to give them kudos for one thing, is that it's big enough that you can actually put your bike or take your bike on board with you. But
that still doesn't help you when you get to the other end and where you're going to park it.
Exactly. You're exactly right. Anyways, 25 minutes remaining in the show, 646-721-9887. Did you hear about what Florida is trying to do as far as illegal immigration?
Now we get in to an interesting subject, this immigration thing. We're all going about this the entire wrong way. Florida's going about it the wrong way. Arizona's going about it the wrong way. And the federal government should be horsewhipped. Everyone in the federal government should be horsewhipped. Because the simple fact of the matter is this could all, every single bit of it, be solved if our federal government would just do their job. If they would just enforce the laws that we already have. But they refuse to enforce the laws, and now they're refusing to let anybody else enforce the laws. Get rid of them.
Well, and like the judge argued regarding the Arizona case, states do not have the right to enforce federal laws. Well, if the feds are especially if they're insisting on that premises, then, okay, enforce the law. You're taking on the responsibility. If you fail to do your job by enforcing the law, then the state should be suing the federal government.
Okay, so what we need to be doing, yes, is the states need to be suing the federal government. We should then, as states and as individuals, be calling for the impeachment of President Obama and the entire House and the entire Senate. That's why right now our big thing is we need to go in a whole different direction. We need to go into the direction of getting rid of all of the old people that have been in the Senate or the House for more than two periods, periods. What's that?
Term limits.
Yes, we need to have term limits. But we need to right now, even though we don't have term limits, we have an election coming up, folks. Get them out of there. Get some new blood in there. Get some people in there who think, instead of, oh, well, we've done that for 47 years, not time to change it yet. Well, actually, the problem is what you've done for 47 years is not enforce the laws. It is time to change it.
Well, and it sounded like it's starting to become a very common and acceptable premise there, too, is, why read the bill? It's 2,000 pages and takes two lawyers and 2 days to read it. Why read the bill? Then don't vote yes on it.
No. You can vote any way you want to on. My opinion is get whoever said that out of office. Out of office. Now. That is important. We have got to sit down, and we as Americans, and this means that you're going to have to actually think for a change. You're going to have to actually get down and start looking into what's going on and finding out who is doing this and who is doing that. There are websites online where you can go to find out who voted what and who voted why and who did what. Now, unfortunately, part of the problem is that none of them are going to admit to not bothering to read any bills. However, we've had a couple of big, long bills where everybody has admitted to not reading it, in which case we need to get some people out of there. And if they're just voting willy-nilly and by listening to whoever wrote the bill, the person who wrote the bill is going to, of course, want you to vote for it.
Right.
And the other thing we've got to do is we've got to stop voting party lines. Party lines don't help the public. You're in there as public servants, not party servants. Party lines are not doing the United States of America any good. We've got to change that.
Oh,
we've got to start voting.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. As I get so hearing that, well, we're trying to appease the left-handers group, so to speak.
I don't mind trying to appease a group. I don't mind trying to appease a person. But do not try to appease the party. Do not vote, for one thing, just because the Democrats came up with the idea or the Republicans came up with the idea. If the Democrats came up with it, the Republicans will no, period. They don't pay any attention whether it's a good bill, bad bill, or otherwise. They just vote no, and that's got to end.
Agreed. Anyways, Florida, getting back to Florida here, what they're trying to do is they're trying to take the Arizona law one step further by looking at what Judge Bolton said and address the constitutionality of it. And what they would do is that instead of requiring officers to check somebody who might be or who they suspect, they're requiring officers to check everybody of being an illegal immigrant in the course of a lawful stop. It would require they would also require state businesses to use national registry to ensure new employees are legal, and would increase penalties for illegal immigrants who commit crimes. So in other words, if somebody is arrested, say, for, I don't know, a misdemeanor charge, and they're also illegally here, the penalty would increase for that charge. Anyway, the bill would also require non-citizen immigrants, which is already on the books federally, to carry immigration documentation or face misdemeanor charges that could carry up to 20 days in jail.
See, I'm against all of this. I'm absolutely positively against all of this. Granted, I understand what Florida is trying to do. Granted, I understand that Florida is trying to adopt a bill or write a bill that can't be beat up like Arizona's was. First of all, everything you do, the federal government can come up with some reason why it's not going to work and send it to court again. But the whole point is, I don't want to live in a country where everybody has to, you know, get pulled over every time they walk out on the street and check your ID. Where's your papers, boy? You know,
papers.
Yes, this is Nazi Germany, and it isn't necessary. If we would enforce the laws we have on the books, then illegal immigrants would not be here, folks. And go back and look at the history of immigration and why it's happening and where it's happening and all that sort of thing. Take a look at what's going on. Arizona, okay, we'll go to the Arizona Republic. Had an article in August 2006 about this immigration thing. And go online and look that up. It's in the Arizona Republic, and the article is from October 8th, 2006. And it walks you through all of why this problem is here and what has – basically it's talking about the amnesty programs and the massive failure of the amnesty programs and the fact that actually if you take a look, the program proposed by President Ronald Reagan was actually a very good program. And again, the only reason that everybody can come up with that it didn't work is the federal government didn't bother to enforce all the laws. Amnesty is just going to bring more people in and more people in and more people in. And it's not just a thought it's positively been proved because it's happened twice. We've done amnesty twice, and each time the amount of illegal immigrants quadrupled or more. And so we've done this, and we know it doesn't work. But what would work is, and again, it requires some actual. See, again, here's where we have to get some people out of office. What it requires is that the federal government actually enforce the laws. What it requires is that the federal government crack down on businesses, on large businesses that are bringing people in. And they're not going to do that because large businesses are going to vote them out of office and put somebody in that will do their will. And so basically our country right now, even if it's just for that, and there are a lot of other reasons, it's being run by big business, not by our government. Our government is big business. So consequently, when Coca-Cola wants to hire illegal aliens, and by the way, Coca-Cola does by the million, by the thousands, at least, I don't know about millions, but by the thousands. And if we were to crack down on Coca-Cola is just going to say, okay, that's it. We're not going to support you anymore. You're gone. And believe me, if Coca-Cola decided to withdraw all of the money that they spend, or Pepsi or any of the rest of these, all the money that they spend on electing people, they're going to be gone. They're going to be gone. That's just all there is to it.
Do you think that we should change the 14th Amendment to try and reduce anchor babies?
No, I don't. Because if you don't have any inducement, if you don't have any reason for them to be here, then they're going to be gone. See, again, you know, if you're an illegal immigrant and you come in here and you have a baby, and the whole point reason for being here to have the baby is because the federal government, our federal government, is going to pay for you having the baby, our healthcare system is going to pay for you having the baby, then we've got a problem with our system. Our system should not be paying people who aren't citizens to do anything. And that's where you ask for immigration papers. That's where you ask for passports. It's when you're, you know, put into the hospital to have a baby or for whatever reason, they, you know, should not have the option of saying no to an American citizen, but they should have the absolute necessity to say no to non-citizens.
Well, do you realize that there's actually a company in Shanghai, China, that is actually making a profit off our 14th Amendment?
Of course, there are companies all over the world making profit on it. There's big money being made on it.
Yeah, this one company in particular, they have a 3-month vacation package to the U.S. and basically it says here for $1,475 you can buy a U.S. passport and citizenship for your new baby. You come over here, you spend 3 months. During the second month here, you give birth. The child is automatically a citizenship, and by the time the child is ready to travel again, the mother's healed up, you go back to go back home with a U.S. citizen child.
Right. Right. And chances are you didn't pay for any of the hospital bills, you didn't pay for any of the other things. All you paid was your $1,400 to this company in China, which was nothing more than information and transportation.
Right. Now, we'll give – this is going to kind of sound coming – weird coming from me, but I will give them a little bit of credit in the fact that they're doing it for the welfare of the child. According to the article, they say that most of the parents that come over here really have no desire to live in the United States. They're just doing it so that when their child turns 18, that they can come back legally and go to the schools and have a better future for the child. So they're kind of like, you know, taking advantage of, I don't know if you call it a loophole or whatever, but just it's a little different than sneaking over the borders to try and
do. See, and I don't believe very many of them have that in mind at all. Hardly none. If you talk about percentage wise, we're going to start talking about these things in percentages rather than in numbers. But if you talk about this in percentage wise, I would miss less than 1%. Less than 1% that are here for that purpose. They're here for the money. They're here for the medical benefits, because it is a much better place to have a child here in the United States than it is in most of the hospitals in Mexico. There's no doubt about it. But the point is, we've got to stop this. If they want to come over and pay for that medicine and that help and all that sort of thing, that's fine. But we can't keep footing the bill. The United States is in enough financial trouble right now. We cannot keep footing these bills, and we are. And it's not the federal government, unfortunately, at this point that's doing it. It's the states that are doing it, and the states are going under, folks. So it's got to, you know, that's why the states are in this position of having to do something, because they can't afford it either. And the federal government.
I feel, I mean, the 14th Amendment was originally put together because when we freed the slaves, the children born of slaves would become American citizens. They didn't think about illegal immigration at the time. But the argument that I'm hearing that makes sense to me is that if both parents are illegal, sure, they can go ahead, because the hospitals by law, and I agree with this, the hospitals by law cannot turn away somebody for medical care. Okay, great. No problem there. But if both parents are not citizens of this country, their child should not be automatically a citizen.
And you see, I disagree with you. I disagree with you. They should not be a citizen, but even more to the point, the hospitals should not be required to take them in if they are not American citizens. If they are not American citizens, we should simply be very nicely take them to Mexico and drop them off at a hospital there.
Oh, so what you're saying is that a woman comes in, she's in labor. Oops, sorry, going to put you on the next flight over the border.
Yeah.
Well, there I'll disagree with you. That'd be cruel and unusual punishment.
You're damn right it's cruel and unusual punishment. And isn't it a cruel and unusual punishment that we have people like me who are on Medicare, people who are old and are citizens that are not getting the benefits that they need because we're giving the money to them? We've got people in America dying because we're giving the money to Mexicans.
Well, I agree with you that the system's being drained, and I don't want to say it's just solely Mexicans. I mean, they are the largest growing population in the United States, and the largest illegal population. So I don't want to say it's just Mexicans.
No, it's not, and I'm being an idiot for saying that too. But illegal immigrants.
Right. I understand the frustration, and you're right. You know, they are putting a drain on the system. You know, like I just said, our laws, when somebody does come into the hospital, you know, we can't turn them away. Well, it all costs money. And supposedly,
it would actually cost less money to hire an airplane to take them back.
Okay, then you got the argument about, well, we're going to be separating families and we're going to be, it's cruel and humans, and not going to deport.
Well, take the mother back too. Take the mother back too. Take everybody back. And I don't, by the way, have this thing problem about separating families. In fact, in my opinion, we should have. And this is horrible because I disagree with the philosophy, but maybe we should have orphanages and forbid the parents and just keep the babies.
Well, considering that technically, okay, now let's look at another point. The 14th Amendment, like I say, you know, you're born in the United States, congratulations, you're an American citizen. Your parents are not. All right. So now the parents, let's say, are going to go back to whatever country they came from. They're taking an American citizen over the border.
Kidnapping.
Conversely, when a child is older and they're brought here, I'm getting a little off topic here, but we'll get back. When they come over here illegally and they bring a child, a 2-3 year old over here, over the border, if you took a child over state lines, that becomes federal kidnapping charges. You're bringing over a child over international lines, and nothing is said. I think it's child abuse, for one, for bringing a child into a country illegally and forcing them to be in fear of deportation when they get older. But
well, you know who needs to be punished?
Who?
The federal government. They are the ones who are not enforcing the laws. They are the one allowing these people to come into our country, and they are the ones who should be held responsible. We have got to do something about our government. This whole idea about illegal immigration is moot point. It's not going to change. We're not going to fix it. We can build the biggest fence in the world. We can put 10,000 troops, we actually already have more than that, across the border, and it's not going to fix it. It has not fixed it in the past. It hasn't even slowed it down. What has made it worse is the amnesty programs. Not the idea that we're ignoring the borders or anything else. It's the amnesty programs where we're telling these people from other countries, oh, come on in. We'll give you citizenship sooner or later. All you have to do is weather the storm. I mean, you know, some of these places where these people are coming from are horrible conditions, absolutely horrible conditions. It's better to come here and put up with the crap, put up with the hiding and lying and cheating and everything else for 10 or 15 years to become citizens. It's better to do that than it is to live where they're from. And I'm sorry about that, and I worry about that. But I'm not so sorry that I'm going to give my life up for that.
Well, like you're saying, about enforcing the law. Let's take a look at Obama's comprehensive immigration reform that he's wanting to pass. And one of the requirements are that, you know, you pay a fine, pay your back taxes, go to the back of the line, and you learn English. If we can't even enforce the laws that we currently have on the books, how are we going to enforce these laws?
Well, the simple fact of the matter is you can sit here all day and say they need to pay this or they need to pay that. The old thing is, what is it? You can't get blood from a turnip. If they don't have any money, they aren't going to pay. And what are you going to do?
Yeah, you're not going to deport 12 million people just because they can't pay.
You're not going to deport 12 million people no matter what.
Right, exactly. So you still you still wind up with the same situation if you're not going in.
Yeah, you haven't. He can pass this bill. He can pass all this legislation he wants. It's a bunch of crap. It means absolutely nothing because they're not going to enforce it.
Exactly. And with 5 minutes remaining in the show, 646-721-9887. We'd love to hear your comments on this or any other topic that you have. And again, a quick reminder on next week's show. Be sure to tune in for that one. We're going to be talking about the anti-idle laws and how it affects it.
Especially if you're a trucker, or know a trucker, or if you want to include everybody, or if you ever buy anything was delivered on a truck, which of course that includes the entire United States population.
Exactly. So it should be a good show, and if nothing else, informative. So again, next Saturday, 10 a.m. Pacific. You know, hope you'll join us. 4 minutes remaining. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I think first of all, like you said, number one, we got to secure our borders. Number two,
we don't need to secure our borders. You cannot secure the borders. It's just not going to happen. It's not ever going to happen. You know, if we wanted to do that, the first thing to do is bring all of our troops home from every place else in the world and put them on the border. It's still not going to do the job. All it's going to do is turn that border into a huge war because there's too much money involved. Too much money involved, and that's what makes the difference. You're not going to do anything about the borders. What you've got to do is go after the big businesses in this country and make them pay either a reasonable wage or pay taxes on every illegal that they hire. Then they can hire them all they want because they're not going to go after them. And you've got to make it not worth their time to do this. And that's just a simple. There are laws already on the books that take care of that. All we have to do is enforce them.
Well, speaking of borders, real quick, like you said, we can't enforce our borders. Do you believe if we were actually invaded by an armed militia through our borders, our southern borders, do you really believe we'd be able to defend them?
No. No, and we shouldn't have to. If there's a militia of some sort, who is it going to belong to? I mean, that's the problem we have right now is that we've got all of our people all over the world. And they're not supporting us. They're not defending us. And if something were to happen, but that's the thing. We have this war going on. We got the drug war, which is huge amounts of money that is going on that we aren't paying much attention to. And our big trip to get along with Mexico means that we let them do whatever they want to. And then we've got the big problem, which is even bigger than the drugs, and that is the huge amounts of businesses and farms and everybody, and they do rely on this illegal immigrants, on this low wage workers. Okay, then we need to work a deal where, remember the Bracero program or something, where people could get these temporary permits to come in and work, and.
But
and we need to get off of.
We also just changed our child labor laws too, raising the age that a kid could actually work in the fields, which I think we should relook at because I worked in the fields when I was a kid, and it made me a lot of extra.
And they talk about teenager unemployment, and yet they don't let them work.
Exactly.
Nothing like a little bit of double talk. We've got to get our government straightened out, and the first thing we've got to do is work on campaign reform. So we can get the right people in office and change them enough that they have a way of keeping it all straight.
We'll be back
anyway,
next week.
We're out of time. Come on back next week
sure
and talk about truckers.
On the
we'll pick truckers
at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.